Good evening. Good evening. Sorry for the late start. You know, some technical difficulties over here, but we are in this Mickey Blicky. It's me, your boy Damon, with the DK and Tree podcast. Of course, I'm happy. Of course, I'm happy. Because guess what? We got the AFC Championship game that we going through. All I'm saying is this. I've been talking cat trash to my family up in Kansas City and any Kansas City fan I can get my hands on. All week long, we just been talking trash. But as you always notice, I got sponsors going at the bottom of the screen, finally going. But I got to bring my boy in here because we got some things to talk about. TJ, welcome.
What's happening?
Listen, of course I'm happy this week. Of course, Baltimore is on fire today. Matter of fact, they started selling tickets today to the game. Man, I looked up some of them tickets. I said, well, I won't be going. I'm not paying those prices. So, like I said, let the shenanigans begin. And boy, Baltimore has just been completely with the shenanigans, because I'm telling you, they have been off the chain with these Taylor Swift
stuff. Yeah. Seriously.
Taylor has been all around Baltimore.
Boy. Hey,
matter of fact, we got to get our chicken box in the half and half. Huh?
Oh. Throw some crabs in there, too, while we're at it.
Throw some crabs, throw everything in there. Like I said, Taylor has been all around Baltimore. I'm just saying, it is bashful week here between us and the Chiefs. This is the biggest thing. Hey, like Tony Romo said, like Ric Flair says, to beat a man, you got to beat the man. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is Lamar Jackson's opportunity to beat the man. Yeah. And, you know, I know we talked after the divisional rounds, and you said, oh, I got to think about this and all that. But now I think I'm going to ramp this one up a little bit.
Sure.
I don't think this game is going to be close. I really don't. Remember, if you watch the Buffalo and Kansas City game, they went up and down the field on each other. They did. They went up and down. There was no defense in that game. It was just, all right, what your offense is going to have the ball last? Sorry, can you pay for a kicker in this league? Pay for a kicker? Can anyone pay for a kicker in this league?
Right.
I'm just asking. So, you know, and if it wasn't for the missed field goal, who knows what would have happened? You really don't know what would have happened. But my thing of it is that I'm looking at down, they got to come in here and play that defense. Is Mahomes going to be ready for that? Is he going to be ready for, I got this. You know, we going to be all right. I don't know. Because only two people he can rely on right now is Rice and Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? I mean, Pacheco's a beast. I'm not. Pacheco's a beast. But I just think the Ravens defense is going to be on them. They are. They're going to give him so many different looks. They'd be like, oh, God. Remember, the loss of Tyreek Hill. If they had Tyreek Hill, I'd be a little nervous. I'd be a little nervous.
I would hope so.
Tyreek is a game changer all the way around because he can come out the backfield. He can do. Tyreek's just a different animal.
Yeah.
But like I said, purple week all week. Purple week, Baltimore. It's purple week all week.
So here's my thing, and I wanted to predicate my portion of the show on why every team has a case of winning this Sunday. So since you had me walk into Kansas City, I'll give you a rebuttal for Kansas City. Okay. You do know that Patrick Mahomes had 6 incompletions on Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're aware of that. Are you aware that Isaiah Pacheco had 97 yards and a touchdown this past weekend? You're aware?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Are you aware of Travis Kelce having 2 touchdowns this past weekend?
Yes.
Okay. Here's another thing I'm pretty sure you're not aware of, and this is what I paid attention to. Did you know that this Chiefs offensive line, the offensive line that we've crapped on all year, that can't protect Mahomes and all this other stuff all year long, we've been saying that. It's been the same narrative all year. They have not allowed a single sack on 64 playoff dropbacks. What does that mean? That means every time Patrick Mahomes drops back to pass, he is not getting touched. Now, for those of you who are a fan of this team, y'all know a thing or two about how this story goes, because this happened to us last year. Now, granted, the Ravens are not the same defense as Philly was last year, but I would like to remind everybody that the Eagles defense last year had 70 sacks and was getting to the quarterback all year long. Then they played Mahomes, and they didn't sack him one time. So I gotta say that if there was a legitimate reason for why the Chiefs would win this game, it would be those reasons I just stated. Mahomes, out of any time during the year, picked last week to be practically, I don't know if the word is flawless, but he played as accurate as he possibly can be. 6 incompletions is insane, okay?
Right.
Then you have Pacheco that's getting 97 yards. He's averaging 5.8 yards a carry. So that's 6 yards that you're getting out of Pacheco on each run, okay? And if you don't take care of Kelce, Rashee Rice is still there. Valdez-Scantling is starting to catch the football now, as you saw last week. It's gonna be a dogfight. It's gonna be a dogfight for me. Now, for Baltimore, and I know you're gonna love to hear this. This is why I believe Baltimore would win this game. Cause the same thing I mentioned about Mahomes. I want to remind you a little bit of something about Lamar Jackson. I feel like you know this, but I'll say it anyways. Lamar Jackson had 6 incompletions all game. Do you remember that being the case? That happened.
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay. Do you also understand that he had 4 total touchdowns on this past weekend? Yeah, that happened. Okay. How about the fact that he did all this without throwing an interception? Do you remember that also?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Lastly, did you know that said Baltimore team had a total of 229 rushing yards last week?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So for Baltimore, you have a team that is going to rough you up, going to run downhill, and there ain't much that you can do about it, regardless of who has the ball in their hands, okay? Now, granted, there was not a receiver that went over 60 yards receiving, but I think anytime you're in a position where you're blowing a team out practically 34-3, as you mentioned.
Right.
As you mentioned, you're not going to get a whole lot of yards, okay? That's just the nature of it all. That's all that it is. Now, the defense did something that if I am the Chiefs, I would be very worried about. And that's how many tackles for loss they had this past Saturday. They had 5. So what does that mean? That means, Pacheco, you may have gotten away with those silly, you know, second chance extra yardage. But I remind you, the Baltimore Ravens have a defense that will stop you in your tracks and will do it all game long. They will do it all game long. So, since you put me in this corner for this game, I'll do this now. I'm gonna get this out the way now. I got Baltimore winning this game. I have Baltimore winning this game by the score of 34-31. I do. I think there's going to be some high scoring. I think there's going to be a lot of different points being put on the board. This is going to remind you of, if you remember this fondly, of when Baltimore played the Rams weeks ago. That's what I see this game being. Back and forth. I'm not sure if it's going to go to overtime or not. Probably not. If it does, great for us. But this is a game where it's going to go down to time of possession, who had the less turnovers, who made the less mistakes. And if I have to count on those three things, believe it or not, Baltimore checks all three of those boxes.
Yes, they do.
So Baltimore is the team to beat. I've said it countless times. They are a one-way ticket to the Lombardi Trophy. But it will not come easy. It will not come easy for me. It will not. They will not.
I'm going to beg to differ just a little. I agree with all your points.
Sure.
But I'm going to beg to differ just a little. Each time I've said that I didn't think even one of these games would be a blowout, what did the Ravens do? They went in there and tore the fur off of – it wasn't not recognized teams. These were top-notch teams. Mm-hmm. They went into Santa Clara and beat the brakes off the 49ers. Yeah. Right? Detroit came here and got dealt with. You know, when I'm thinking, okay, all right, they're good teams. They're going to give us a fight. They wasn't even close. Yeah. And it seems like, you know, Mike McDaniel has to give all the credit in the world to that guy, man. Because Absolutely. He's studying that film and he's scheming them defenses to get to, you know, like, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to get to the quarterback. This is the pressure that we're going to do. Give Mike McDaniel his flowers, man. He the way he's scheming that defense, no one's figured it out. Yeah. No one's figured it out. Everything. Again, just because we had four losses, but who has truly beat the Ravens this season? No one. The Ravens has tore the fur off everybody. The Rams gave us the toughest fight. Mm-hmm. The toughest from the NFC. Rams gave us because they went up and down the field on each other. But hey, these are two teams that don't play each other. They don't know. Right. So of course, hey, we gotta do this. But I'm telling you, I just feel a little bit different. Like I said, Pacheco's a beast. You can't take that away from him. Kelsey's a beast. You can't take that away from him. Mm-hmm. You know, Rashee Rice done stepped up, came out of nowhere, and it all started from that Dolphins game. He just, all right, I'm gonna get hot. I just got hot. I'm just gonna catch these balls. Mahomes, you can count on me. Don't worry about Valdez Scantley. I got you.
Yeah.
Butterfingers McBob. So he has, he has his pieces in place where he can do. Also, let's not forget, Mahomes can still run also, mm-hmm. which he does. He can still run. He can still get out the pocket. You know, you have to worry about all that. But the Ravens have seemed to, we talk about Queen and Smith. Yeah. Yes. Queen and Smith, best linebacker duel in the NFL. Them dudes can get sideline to sideline in no time. Will it be a challenge for them? Yeah, it's going to be a challenge for them. But even if you get past those two, you still got to deal with that secondary. Yeah. You still. So they all get to you some way or the other. You got Hamilton that'll be up on the line and just blitz you out of nowhere. That's going to throw your timing and your rhythm off. So, man, that defense, again, reminds me of that 2000 defense, and that's scary.
It does.
It's reminding me of that because they're taking names and prisoners, and they're like, we're going to run through you. It's not we're going to beat you. We're going to run through you, and this is the perfect scenario for what Baltimore needs to do. They need to go in there, make a statement, say, okay, you were the champs. Mm-hmm. This is our time now. It's that all passing the torch. Okay. Look how it's been passed down.
Sure.
Brady, right? Brady mm-hmm. to Mahomes. Mahomes going to pass it to Lamar.
Mm.
To beat the man, you got to beat the man. And for the longest time, who was the man? Brady.
Brady.
Was the man to beat. And Peyton Manning couldn't get over that for a while. You know, it's changing of the guard. But I think Lamar's so focused, and even Shannon Sharp brought this one up. He says Lamar's focus is completely different. He said the man said it on his draft night. You're going to get a ring out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
To do it. Not only MVP of the league, but possibly could be MVP of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Could be, just depending on what happens or who we play. You just right. never know. But I give it to that whole Ravens coaching staff for what Harbaugh has done and what he's brought in there and what they've done with Lamar to unlock his potential, because mm-hmm. that is so scary. And that's the dynamic that people really downplay, is his potential. Monken has opened him up, said, hey, I believe in you. Here's your play. Go for it. If you need to change it, change it. You do what you need to do. I'm not changing your play. But here you go. And
yeah.
it's worked all season long. From week one all the way up to this championship game, it has worked. And even in the game against Houston, mm-hmm. what'd he say? He said, I cussed everybody out. He said it in the press conference. He said, I can't say it here. It's being inappropriate. But he said, we got it together in the second half. And they did.
Yeah.
And they beat the brakes off of Houston. And again, all you Houston fans that are sitting out here talking, saying, oh, you know, what this, you know, it was a rookie quarterback. It was a rookie coach. Last I checked, they was in the NFL, the National Football League. This ain't high school football. This ain't college football. Stop making these excuses. They lost. They lost. They're a professional football team, a team that where those players get paid good money to do what they do. And they lost. Accept it. Move on. Because if the Ravens would have lost, guess what? I would have accepted it and moved on. Plain and simple. I don't make no excuses for professional athletes. So,
yeah,
that's my take.
And again, like for those who have that mindset, I'll remind you that this wasn't the type of noise that y'all were saying when they beat the Browns. You didn't have this type of noise when they got to the playoffs when they beat the Colts. We didn't have this type of noise when CJ Stroud was doing what he was doing all year. We didn't right. have that. We didn't have that type of conversation then. So the fact that it takes a loss in the playoffs for people to start saying that, it's weak in my personal opinion. But like, that's just the truth of the matter. Y'all seriously weren't even having this type of conversation when they were winning, when they were doing what they were doing. They lost. They lost to the better team. Everybody said that Baltimore Ravens was the better team. Everybody said that it was just a matter of time. It took a little bit longer than everybody expected, but that ended up being the case, and that is okay. Sometimes you really need to understand how much of the outcome of the season really affects your franchise. Regardless of how this season went for Houston, whether they went to the AFC Championship game and got bounced, whether they got bounced this past Saturday, or if they got bounced in the wild card round, you had a great season.
Yes.
Last year, let me remind y'all, last year, y'all were 2-14. Y'all were selecting second overall to draft CJ Stroud. Y'all were so many things that I am not even going to say on this show, because that's how awful y'all were. Okay? So, you know, that's why the phrase of remember where you came from, don't forget where you came from, that applies here. You have a rookie, y'all won a playoff game with a rookie head coach, a rookie offensive coordinator, and a rookie quarterback. Everybody's in their first year doing this. And again, I'll say it again, a roster that outside of CJ Stroud, you don't know anybody else on that roster unless you are a football junkie.
Yes. Okay?
So, again, that team got to the divisional round and played against a much more experienced, better talented, and overall well-rounded franchise in Baltimore. It's okay.
Yep.
It happens. It happens. Now, you know, at least you didn't pull a stinker like some teams. But y'all showed up. Y'all showed up. And by the way, the final score don't even tell the full story. Because as much as we say that the final score should be 34-3, if you watch the game from beginning to end, those Houston Texans fought hard until the very end.
Yes, they did. They didn't lay down.
They did not lay down. There were still plays being made throughout the entire game, regardless of what the score was. They just didn't get it into the end zone. It happens, especially against Baltimore. It really happens, okay?
Right.
So there's no loss in if you're a Houston Texans fan right now. No loss whatsoever. You just lost to the better team. And honestly, y'all are, if we're being honest, what, maybe two or three pieces away from being in the conversation for being in the Super Bowl already?
Mm. Already.
So
already.
I would just chill off of the rookie quarterback stuff, because y'all are one free agent period away, one draft period away from being a perennial top team in AFC and a top 10 team in NFL. You're that close. I actually put you on the top 10 right now, for being honest. So,
because the hardest division to fight through is the AFC North.
Yeah.
And they beat Cincy. They beat Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They beat Cleveland on the second one, the playoff.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
CJ Stroud was out in that first game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they beat Pittsburgh. That's no easy feat.
Right.
That is no easy feat coming to the AFC North beating these teams, because they know what the AFC North is, very physical. Them guys going to hit you. No matter what team in the AFC North, you're going to feel you've been that playing that game, because they're going to pop you.
Right.
So that's no easy feat. You beat three out of the four teams in the division. That's no easy feat.
Mm-hmm.
Something they done. And something that, like I said, if CJ wouldn't have got the concussion, they probably would have had more wins. They probably would have won those two games that they lost.
Yeah.
So Houston has nothing to be ashamed of. I just hate all the excuses that they make about, absolutely, oh, you know, rookie this or rookie that. No, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. For what they did in their first year, putting that system back together from what you came from last year to this year was amazing. And to get to a divisional round of a playoff, That's everyone needs a raise.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot to mention that they won the division. Everybody forget about that. They won the division.
Yes. You won the division.
You hosted a playoff game. It wasn't just the fact that y'all got there. Y'all hosted a playoff game. Right. I mean, we had a better record than y'all, and we still had to end up going in Tampa.
Right.
Yeah. That. Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So, I mean, like be grateful, man. Just this last year, y'all were trying to figure out who to draft at second overall. Let's not do this, man. Let's not.
No. Come on. No, let's not. Now I gotta get on my family up in Kansas City, because sure. I mean, I'm coming for them, they coming for me. And I see Kelsey ain't jumped on here yet. So,
it's coming.
I mean, all of them are coming for me. Trust me, the trash talking has been all week long with this. So, they said we got to come up with a bet in Kansas City. Now, I heard that, you know, they got this overrated barbecue up there, and, you know, we got these overrated crab cakes here.
Okay. Okay, well then.
So maybe we could do some food, or hey, if the loser, whoever loses the game, you have to wear the winner's jersey, you know, something that like that.
That's a great idea.
You know, so I'm just saying, we're going to make it fun, but it's been Purple Week all week. But the best part about all this is they've been giving Taylor Swift the business all week long. Okay. Some of these memes where they got her in Baltimore, boy. Man.
It's bad.
You know what's up? We bad. Hey, we bad. And, yeah. But, hey, you about to come into the bank. And expect that when you come into the bank, all bets are off when you come into the bank, because we coming for you.
Yeah.
We waiting for you. And I saw that fired up speech that Mahomes gave in the locker room. And by all means, here we go. Look, here we go. Here we go.
It was coming. I told you.
I knew it was coming.
It was a matter of time, man.
It's just a matter of time. Listen, and that's what you do. You rep your teams in the end. Can't knock them. They are the Super Bowl champs. And like Tony Romo say, like Ric Flair say, to beat a man, you got to beat the man. It's the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. Mm-hmm. The immovable object is Kansas City. The irresistible force is Baltimore.
Right.
And we coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah. To be in six AFC championship games, it's a feat. But you know something? Like I was saying before we came onto the air, you know, we got a great endorsement by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who says that he thinks Baltimore is going to knock them off. So people are seeing that it's something special with the Baltimore Ravens. And I even see what's special with the Baltimore Ravens, because we haven't seen a team like this in a long time. But and I'm going to say it, and I've been saying this, this is the best offense we have ever had in Baltimore. The best that we've ever. Now, people might want to debate me. Well, what about Flacco? Was Flacco consistent? What about Flacco? Yeah. Was Flacco consistent? Was he consistent? No. Lamar had his up and down through the five seasons, but guess what? He was consistent. Consistent. Right. Other than the 2 years, he was hurt. Yeah. Other than the 2 years, he was hurt. You know, he's been consistent. Mm-hmm. And he's the only quarterback who got all that damn money and has been on fire. Yeah. You paid me. Now I'm going to show you what I'm going to do, because you paid me. You gave me my money. I'm about to go ahead and wear this up. That's right. How about those Ravens, baby? That's what I'm talking about.
And I had to think about this, too. Here's another thing, too. Outside of Mahomes, I think he might have, like, would you say that, and this is not to knock what the Ravens have at wide receiver or tight end, but there's an argument to be made that Lamar Jackson in that offense is thriving without a top 10 receiver, without Andrews now. So this is an offense that's thriving without a top 10 wide receiver, that's thriving without a top 5 tight end, and an offensive line where just at this point last year, we were questioning whether or not it was able to hold up, because year after year, it had none but injuries to worry about.
Right.
So I have to question, out of all the offenses that are left, is this the least talented? I have to honestly ask that question. And if the answer is yes, then that would heighten how great this offense has been this year. If the answer is yes, then that heightens that case.
Okay, let me jump on that with you. Okay, let's go back to Santa Clara. Yep. 49ers versus the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Look at the better receivers that the 49ers have.
Yeah.
Right? You could say they have better receivers, right? We have a rookie wide receiver, Zay Flowers, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Just busting it out. Remember, Andrews is out, so it's likely this in there, right? Mm-hmm. They got who? Kittle over there, right?
Right.
So if you're matching it up that way, then you can say that. I see what your point is with that.
That's what I'm saying. Offenses, by the way. I'm just talking about offense.
Yeah. I can see what you're saying, right? Because remember, they got Debo over there too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got Aguilar, right? We got Odell, and Odell's not in his prime. He's, you know, he's on the downslope of his career. You know, so simple fact that I get your point of what you're saying, because the simple fact that if you look at what the Ravens has versus what some other teams have, okay, let's go to the Rams game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams receivers you could say are much higher than what we got. And we still beat them. Mm-hmm. And we still beat them.
Yeah.
And we still beat them. So I get your point. I get what you're saying on that one.
Yeah, because I I'm bringing that up because so many times we've been talking about over the last, what, five seasons or so, and I think it has so much to do with how Kansas City was constructed with Tyreek Hill, Kelce, whoever you want at running back, Mahomes. With that being the way that they constructed offense, we always thought that you need to have a practical super team at on offense in order for the team to work. Well, Baltimore is showing you that if you just have a dominant quarterback, you know, you can have an interchangeable running back group. You can have an interchangeable wide receiver group. You can have a turnstile offensive line and still get to this far in the season. So that's why I'm bringing that up, because it's like with the Ravens getting this far, you would actually think, if you didn't look at, you know, the blowout wins, if you didn't pay attention to any of that stuff, and you just looked at how their roster was built and was constructed at the beginning of the year, you would have thought, you know, maybe top 15 passing offense. You know they're going to be a top 10 in rushing. But, yeah, top 15 passing? No. They're top 10 in both.
Yep. But hey, look what Herb just said. The Ravens have a better offensive scheme.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that, because some of these defenses, like, how are we going to stop this? Mm-hmm. How are we going to stop this?
But that's more so Lamar. But that's more so Lamar, though.
Yeah.
That's just how great Lamar is, to where you can't, like we've been saying all year, you can't practice that. There's no way you can't duplicate that. Not in practice, not on the scout team, none of that. You can't. So that's just off of Lamar Jackson. Now, the point that I'll bring up is, do we still have the same conversation that there's a different quarterback at the helm? I don't know. Okay?
Right.
But I think the reason why we ask those questions when it comes to this Ravens offense is solely because of how multidimensional Lamar is. And because, you know, he can run it and he can throw it, and it's not even just those two things, it's how he's throwing the football. It's when he's running the football that makes it so dangerous. That's what makes the scheme as strong as it is, because of how multidimensional Lamar is. Now, if Lamar was just a Michael Vick, where he was just running around, now it's about it, the offensive scheme would probably be, it would still be solid, but there'll be something missing. What makes it dangerous is the fact that he's able to not only run this thing, but he times his runs, and then on top of that, he's able to throw in the pocket, sidearms, throwing it at this angle, that angle, with that route and this route, throwing darts in coverage. That's dangerous.
Yes.
So you know, so when you look at it like that, it's like, okay, is it the scheme or is it Lamar? Is it the scheme or is it Lamar? In my personal opinion, if I had to pick one or the other, I would say it's Lamar. But I do understand that it is both, and that's why we see why both are coinciding so well this year.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, like I said, it's no knock against Kansas City, because again, they the champs,
no,
or whatever. But right now, we got the better team, and we're hitting on all three sides of the ball. We have the better team, and it's going to show. And I honestly believe what Herb said, I think this is going to be a blowout. I do. I'm not counting Mahomes out. I'm not. But I just think that defense is going to slow Mahomes down. And when they slow the game down, that game's over. That game is over. When the defense slows them down, the game's over. And especially if they make them one-dimensional and slow Pacheco down. They slow Pacheco down, that game is over because that plays into the Ravens' favor. They want you to pass because we're going to be sitting back there waiting for him. And here's Herb's score, 48-28.
I get it. Actually, I'll change my score right now. I know I said it would be high scoring, 34-31. Give me 28-24.
Okay.
Give me 28-24. I think that's a little bit more feasible. It's actually kind of similar to the score they had the last time they played against one another. So I think that sounds legitimate for it to be a repeat. 28-24 Baltimore.
Okay. Because I got to at least give Kansas City 21 points, at least.
Absolutely.
You're really not going to shut down Mahomes.
No.
He's going to find a way. You're not going to shut him down. I got to at least give him 20. I'm at least give him 21. Because if you look at what they've been doing over the season, that's all they've really been averaging. It's like 21, 24 points. And then all of a sudden, they just stagnate. They can't get past that. You know, what happened up in Buffalo, okay, them two know each other so well. So it was just bound to happen. But like I said, can't pay for your kicker anyway around here. Anybody need some kickers? I'm just saying. Y'all better go get some better kickers around here.
Right.
Good. But at Packers, you know, missing kicks. I'm just saying, y'all need some kickers around here. But it's going to be rocking and rolling Sunday in the bank. Rocking and rolling. That place is going to be on fire. That town is going to be on fire. Yeah. I guarantee you, when that game is over, and I agree with this too, Herb, too, I think Detroit's going to beat the 49ers. So I honestly believe that. Wait a minute. Wait. Taylor got to get a chicken box and a jumbo half and half before we set up.
Hey, by the way, you will not be disappointed now. You will not be disappointed. I'll tell you that. That half and half will have you some kind of good.
Okay. She be flying down here a lot. Hey, I got to go here.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. Because
these memes all week I've been seeing with Taylor Swift, they even had a picture of her up on Park Heights in Belvedere. Oh my God.
I saw that too.
I said, what, in Pimlico?
Y'all something else, man.
Man, we've been weighing her out. They got her at Mondawmin Mall. They got her in front of the fried chicken and fish plates. Oh, man. They got her all over the place.
Wow.
Oh, my God. If someone still had a picture of Murphy Holmes and Lexington Terrace and they put a picture in front of that, I would fall out. Oh, Tay Tay will lose her mind after that chicken box.
Yes, he will. Because I'm pretty sure we all have at this point.
Oh, and for my good goodness. Reason.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
True.
All right. So I guess I got to jump over to the Lions and Frisco now.
Sure.
Debo, shoulder injury.
50-50.
That's a big, big injury. That's a big, big injury. And if he does not play, that's going to be a problem.
I agree.
That's going to be a problem. And I think Detroit is just too on fire right now to be stopped. I mean, look at them. And, you know, just looking back at the game, and I'm looking at, okay, Baker threw these two interceptions. I was like, that's what it is. It's always an interception that will mess you up.
Yep.
But on the last possession of the drive, and you go down and you throw an interception in that hot city of Detroit, and Detroit was like, okay, you score, we're going to go back down the field and score. Jared Goff, they, like you said, I look back at it, they had some pressure on him, but not enough because he was firing that ball off. And I said, okay, they find a way to protect him to get that ball off.
Mm-hmm.
And he's learning from all his past mistakes. And now he's about to go into Santa Clara. And here's the thing, and I've been saying this, the 49ers don't like to blitz. And if you're rushing them four and they can keep him to wait and gets that ball off, he's going to pick 49ers apart. He's going to pick them apart. Because, like I said, Chase was getting cooked in that Green Bay game.
No show.
Right?
No show.
no show whatsoever. You know, it was Bosa getting through. Mm-hmm. Bosa's like, okay, but Bosa can't be on both sides of the line. So no. I'm just saying, I think Detroit is going to upset the 49ers. Now, all the 49ers fans would disagree with me. You know, they say, oh, it's our time. We going to the Super Bowl, this and that. Even if you do, the way that offense looked against Green Bay, y'all ain't going to win that game. They really look like they just took that 2 weeks off. That's what that really looks like. They was rusty. They was nostalgic. And Brock Purdy just wasn't throwing it. But it was just showing me, I said, they're not invincible. They are beatable. Yeah. 49ers are very beatable. So.
Yeah, they are. And that's I'm doing it again for those of y'all that are catching with the theme of this. I'm gonna give you a case for why either team can win this game before I make my pick here. I'll start with the 49ers. I know we're crapping on them, but Christian McCaffrey is still on that team. Christian McCaffrey still had almost 100 yards. He had 98, and he had 2 touchdowns. Okay, he is still about as dangerous can get in terms of being able to catch out of the backfield and be able to run it. So you have that element offensively. Now, do I think that there will be more touches out of Ayuk, Kittle, Juwan Jennings, in the rest of that passing crew with Debo up in the air? Absolutely. So I would factor that in also. And the defense did come up with 2 interceptions. Now, granted, one of them had no business being an interception, but
right.
we already discussed about that. But it still happened anyways. We can't take that away. 2 interceptions is 2 interceptions, no matter how you spin it. All right? That's the 49ers case for me. Outside of those things, nothing they did was great. Brock Purdy did not play great. You cannot throw the ball as many times as he did. You cannot have the passer rating that he did. He only had an 86 passer rating. So he was very inefficient. And outside of that last drive where he actually started to play how he was all year long, he was struggling. He was struggling. And it was honestly kind of concerning to watch some of those throws that he was making, how uncomfortable he was. He did not like the pressure. And that's another thing with Purdy. Him and pressure are not belonging in the same sentence right now.
Right.
Not right now. Now, granted, I get it. It was raining. It was pouring. I get all that. But to struggle that way and then see Jordan Love on the opposite side, despite his 2 interceptions, to throw the ball around the way that he did, it's like, come on, man. Come on. What are we doing here? So I would have to raise an eyebrow with that with San Fran.
And Jordan Love, he made it look easy.
Easy. He did. He
made it look easy.
He did. And he did it time and time again, which makes the case even worse. Then you got Detroit, where Jahmyr Gibbs, my baby Alvin Kamara, he's not my fantasy MVP for my team, of course, but he's definitely up there. He's definitely in the running. 74 yards in a touchdown. That guy, you can't really. I don't know what it is.
Give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. I got a special guest just popped in here, and I'm glad he made it. Hold on, let me bring him on.
Sure.
Hello, Dave. Thank you much for going on. I want to give Dave a shout out. He's from the Dave and Doc podcast, and okay. We actually got talking. He's a big 49ers fan. I'm a big Ravens fan. He said he probably couldn't make it. I'm glad he did make it on. So thank you, and welcome to the DK3 podcast. Sir, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, guys. Good to be on. Sorry you're a Ravens fan. Also, sorry you're an Eagles fan. I'm sorry about both. Maybe I can convert you both tonight. I doubt it, but
hey, you know what? We're not even worried about that. Let's not even. I would take the banner down, but it was a hard time putting it back up.
I get it. No, I get it completely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally get it.
Hey, Dave. Listen. We was just going over the 49ers and some things we saw in that Green Bay game.
Sure.
And like I said, what we thought. And this is what I thought, that they just didn't look good after the 2 week break, after the rest period. They just looked rusty. They looked at really like nostalgic, and they was just having some problems. They wasn't really clicking. And that's what we was just talking about. But y'all going to have a hard time with Detroit coming in there. I mean, Detroit's on fire right now. And, you know, they got that whole city behind them, and they just got a lot of momentum. And especially with Debo being hurt, that's going to be an issue. And it's 50-50. He's saying, I was looking at the reports today, they're saying he's like real sore. It's probably going to be a game time decision. But hey, I want to hear your point on it. Come on. Like I said, welcome in. I want to hear you. I definitely want to hear your point.
I appreciate it. And yeah, I do think there was some rust there for sure. And I think it's funny, isn't it? Like, everybody tries to fight for that, you know, that first round bye and all this, and you know, you break your neck to get it, then you get it, and then you don't play football for 20 plus days, and then all of a sudden you're out there with a team like the Packers, who, I mean, of all the teams we could play, we play the Packers, who might have been the hottest team coming into the playoffs, and now we're going to play the Lions, who are a close second, the hottest team coming into the playoffs. It's like, great, we're the number one seed, at least we get to play them at home. But you know, a wet ball is, you know, Troy Aikman used to talk about, he hated throwing a wet ball. And you could go back and look, and Aikman used to have some issues throwing a wet ball too. And I think Purdy does as well. Yeah. I can't throw a ball dry or wet, so, you know, it doesn't matter, but I think he had a hard time. I mean, he started with a glove. There was that one play where he actually put the ball in his left hand and took his hand around his back and wiped his hand off.
And wiped the ball. Yeah.
I mean, dude, you got to be, I mean, your offensive line better be on if you got time to do that. But, you know, I think what mattered in that game was the defense stepped up and got into a rhythm in the fourth quarter, and the offense did too. Mm-hmm. And when it mattered, I mean, he made some great throws down the stretch. But yeah, the whole team looked a little off to me. And then Debo, I got to think he's not 50-50. I think he's probably more like 70-30, because there wasn't a break in the shoulder to keep him out of a conference championship game. I mean, even if he had a break, if he had another hairline fracture, he might still try to play and just say, no, it's fine, guys, I promise. But
right.
I think he's going to play, but they're a different offense without him too. So wet ball, hot team, 20 plus days off, and then the best player on your team probably is out really early. Yeah, I think all that attributed to that. And now we saw what the Lions did, you know, against the Rams, and the right side of the 49ers line is a little suspect at times. So I worry about the pass rush. I don't know. I've been a fan since I was probably 4 years old. So I've watched the 49ers win every Super Bowl they've won. I've seen all the ones they've been in, but
we don't
think about those last two. but yeah, I'm excited about the game. I'm always a little worried. And to be perfectly honest with you, if we play the Ravens again, I don't know that there's a team better than the Ravens right now. And I may have to throw up after I say that, but that, I mean, I just think, they just seem like the best team in football. They're really unpredictable. Like, you can't just, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to line up in zone across the board? Are you going to line up in man? It doesn't really matter, because then Lamar Jackson can just torch you. So that is a very tough team to play. And I really thought going into the season, if we could beat the Eagles, then we'd probably have a good chance at the Ravens. Well, there's so much, I guess I'm not much of a prognosticator, because that didn't happen. But yeah, that's my field. I think we're the better team than Detroit, but I mean, what more motivation can Detroit want, right? I mean, you got the win for your starting quarterback that got kicked out of the city that the team you just played.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, the Lions are so hungry for a playoff win, and then they get one, and now they're in the conference championship. That's tough. It's going to be loud at Levi Stadium on Sunday for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because when y'all actually started coming back, that place was rocking.
Oh yeah,
and that rain. I said, "Oh my goodness!" I said, "Listen at them." I said, "Woo, they fired up." And like I said, and like me and TJ, we always talk about. I said, "Can anybody hire a kicker in this league? Can anyone hire a kicker?" It seemed like nobody could kick. No. I mean, that's all you get paid to do is kick the ball.
Now the Ravens have the only kicker, right? As far as I'm concerned, the Ravens have the only kicker in football. So,
right.
And I was like, this makes no sense. I was like, especially in the Buffalo game when he missed that kick. I was like,
oh,
he just missed that. I said, it's game over. Game's over.
How terrible for Buffalo too, right? It goes wide right. I mean, if it went short or anything else, anything but wide right. I mean,
wide right.
Yeah.
And the fans up there crying, they throwing snowballs. And I had problems. That's what I was talking about in the last podcast. Yeah, I said, look, y'all unprofessional fans up there throwing these snowballs on the field as they're playing. And then FTJ, I was sending him some reports. Apparently, they cut the hot water off in the visitor locker room.
So petty. So petty, man.
That's petty. Oh,
that's pretty bad.
Petty on an all-time high. And I loved it. I love it. You know what? Because just like you and I, just like the average Joe out there, it's one thing to lose. It's another thing when you lose again and again and again and again to the same person over and over and over again.
That's true.
And then not only that, but y'all are losing in gut-wrenching fashion, especially the last two times in the playoffs. It's like at some point we got to come up with something. Let's get in their psyche some way somehow. So out of all the things that they decided to come up with, they decided, you know what? Cut the water off. They ain't gonna stop in there. Go into that plane stinky. That's totally fine. It's cool. They have to come up with something just to send them off. Like, you know what? I'm tired of y'all. I don't want y'all here. Y'all beat us. Again, okay, and I can't stand it. So pettiness on an all-time high for Baltimore. I love it personally, but going back to what you said about the 49ers, my biggest concern that I have with San Fran, and if it's not your concern, then I'm curious to know what your reason is why. This is a game where they allowed a 100-yard rusher this past Saturday. And when you're going against a Detroit team who is capable of having not one but two running backs that can get over 100 yards rushing, depending on how the game is going, that raises the eyebrow to me, in my opinion. So I'm curious to know, how do you feel like the front seven is going to fare in the running game, given how Jahmyr Gibbs played this past Sunday, and David Montgomery, too, having a game plan for the two of them, allow another 100-yard rusher?
Yeah, no, it didn't look great at times. And the footing was a problem, which was one thing. I mean, you saw that with both teams throughout the game. Right. There was a little screen pass thrown out to the right, and Ambry Thomas was just there and just missed the guy. And if you go back and look, his feet just kind of flew out from underneath him. Mm-hmm. But I think Eric Armstead, it was great that he could start, but the Niners hadn't played in over 20 days. Eric Armstead hadn't played in like 60. And I think it showed. I really just think it showed that the middle of the line was just not nearly as good as it is. And again, toward the, I guess probably in the middle of the third quarter to the fourth quarter, it looked so much better. I know he did break off that one huge run.
Yes.
Which was just that I got no answer for that. That's oops.
Right.
You know, I was supposed to tackle him, but I don't know what happened there, but yeah. So, I mean, I think that, not having Armstead there most of this time, I mean, he hasn't even been able to practice up until like the last 8 or 9 days. So I think having him there, I'll put it this way, had Armstead not played, it might have been worse. Or the season, or I might have been trying to pull banners down off my wall too. So most of these are nailed up, so they're not coming down. But all this all this crap behind me. But yeah, I think it'll be fine. It's interesting because, you know, the 49ers, I think, have only lost to Jared Goff one time.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because we kind of know how he plays and some of the things that he's a little suspect at times, throwing fade routes and kind of some deep crossers, which is things they like to throw. These games like this, you know, so many people get together and try to look at it on paper and how they come up with these numbers. You know, the Niners are a 7-point favorite and all this. It's like, hey, where do you come up with that? I mean, you can't,
right.
It doesn't account for all the little nuances in football. And I've coached football before too. And I can tell you, I've lost to teams that I drive home shaking my head. How did we lose to that team? You know, yeah. It's like they had 3 first downs and we still lost. Like, how is it possible for us to have lost that game? You know, so, you know, football just happens that way. I will say this, I think this is true of any team. I mean, the Niners can only play 2 more games, but I think this is true of a Kyle Shanahan offense. If the Niners get an early lead on someone, I think that's kind of the end of it. I mean, because it's really hard to stop that team once they get into rhythm. But Green Bay did a great job of keeping them out of rhythm. I think there were some elements and stuff involved there, but I think Green Bay is just a really good team. And that even makes me more upset because I was so ready for them not to be good for about, you know, 20 years or so. But I'm just not a Green Bay fan.
We did too, because all season long, I've been saying the same thing I've been telling Patriots fans that are whining and crying about Mac Jones and them having a bad season. I've been saying the same thing to Packers fans that was struggling early. Welcome to the rest of us. It don't feel too good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm already eating my words with Jordan Love. So
when the Niners, who was the quarterback? It was after Garcia. I forget who we started. Somebody.
Was it Alex Smith?
No, yeah. it was before Alex. It was like Tim Rattay. One of those, just I've tried to forget, like Jim Druckenmiller, like that's a real name.
Oh my God.
And, you know, I mean, so we had those years there. And again, I was complaining to a friend of mine and he said, okay, so you had Montana, then you had Steve Young, and then you got Jeff Garcia, who's also was a great quarterback. Right. He said, I think you guys can just suck for about 20 years. I think it's okay. And, you know, and lo and behold, we sure did. Right.
But hey, it's nothing worse than the Cowboys. Oh, I'm sorry. Any Cowboys fans in here? I'm going to throw some shots.
Oh, no. Listen,
ain't worse than the Cowboys, okay?
There is nothing that gives me more pleasure than watching the Cowboys lose. I mean, it just gives me so much pleasure. It's just, I just laugh and laugh and laugh. And I'm not a big ESPN fan or a Stephen A. Smith fan, or I just can't listen to that junk anymore. But the only redeeming quality he has is his hatred to the Dallas Cowboys, because that's the only, it's beautiful.
It is, man.
Listen, those Cowboys fans,
money off of that.
They are the worst. When I mean the worst, they were worse. I don't know if I put them up there with the Steelers worse, but they're the worst.
Oh, no. Because they are.
Every year, they're going to the Super Bowl. Every year, we're going to do this. Oh, we can't be stopped. This and that. I said, Dak Prescott is your problem. I said, yeah. And Jerry Jones needs to get his hands off of stuff, because they was like calling for Belichick. And I was like, Belichick's ego and Jerry Jones' ego is not going to mix. Nope. I said, those two egos ain't going to mix, because Bill is going to be like, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to run this my way. And Jerry's going to know, you're going to run this my way. No, that wouldn't have worked.
Well, they tried it with Jimmy Johnson, right? I mean, like they tried that experiment for like, what was it, 5 years or something, and got a couple Super Bowls out of it. And eventually it was just like, yeah, we can't work together anymore. Like, this is just not, you know, we've got the best team in football, but we can't work together anymore. It's ridiculous.
Ain't that crazy to say that since they departed, that life hasn't been the same for
half life has not been the same.
they won Super Bowl 30, you know, against the Steelers. And thanks to Neil O'Donnell, who apparently played for the Cowboys that night. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, hey, is anybody over there ready to catch this pass? I know you wear a different jersey, but, you know, so they beat the Steelers in Super Bowl 30, and then that's just been it. I mean, that's just been it. And, you know, they had the Niners number for years in the regular season and the playoffs for years. And, you know, we broke through in the 94 season, beat them in the 95 NFC Championship game. And we went kind of back and forth with them again. But just these last few years, like, it's just been, I mean, almost to the point where I kind of feel bad for them. I mean, in the divisional round last year, the whole last play of the game where you've got, you know, you've got Ezekiel Elliott snapping the ball. And I'm like, Fred Warner is on top of it. He's going to destroy him. I mean, that's right. Warner's going to run over him. I don't know. I think they got a Mike McCarthy problem. I think they have a Dak Prescott problem. And I think Jerry Jones is probably the bigger of the three, to be honest.
Of course. Now. He's always been.
Yeah.
And like I said, he always has his mouth in everything. Yeah. Soon he goes talk to the press. Let your coaches do this. You're the owner. Sit back and let your coaches do it. But he has his hands so much in that team, just like Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
His hands so much in the Commanders because he's trying to be like his boy Jerry. Oh, it's got to be my way, this way, that way. And now you see what happened. He ain't in Washington no more.
Nope.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Now that whole group has took over here, and they're making changes. And you see the first thing they did, Riverboat Ron, you got to go.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Right.
Got them out of here.
Well, so, it's funny, too, because you think about franchises that have, you know, ownership, you know, like the Steelers and the Patriots and how much better it's went for them. Then you look at the Raiders, you know, who's been in the Davis family, and you thought, you know, when Al Davis died, things would change. No. And I mean, even if Jerry Jones, you know, turns the Cowboys over to his son or whoever, you got to think it's probably going to be ran the same way until another family eventually purchases that. I mean, I can't see that because it's just looked the same for the Raiders. I mean, that's the cesspool of the NFL. And I mean, the Raiders moving to Vegas was the most appropriate move that I ever saw. When they announced that, I'm like, how did this not happen 30 years ago? How did that not happen? But I mean, just those franchises. And I mean, the Raiders have got a great roster. Now, I do think they've got a good head coach now. And I think he's won the locker room with that team. And I think if anybody's going to turn that around over the next couple of years, I think it's going to be him. But you just wonder if the family is just too involved in some of these franchises that they just can't succeed.
You know something, and I'm glad you brought that up because even with, like you said, with the Steelers and the Patriots, if you notice, especially let's go to the Steelers, how many head coaches they've had since that franchise has been in existence? There you go.
Yep.
Three. And they don't believe in just switching people out. They say, hey, we're going to stick with you. We believe in you. Do what you need to do. What do you need from us? And it shows with that. Even Bob Kraft has done that up in New England.
Yeah.
He's really not trying to change his coach out. But, hey, I think it was just a mutual respect between him and Belichick. Say, hey, I think my time is up. I brought you 6 Super Bowls. Yeah. Hey, you know, let me turn it over.
Right. Right.
I brought you 6. Let me turn it over to someone else and see if they have that success. But all these other franchises out here, as soon as something goes fired. Fired. Everybody, well, mid-season, fired.
And listen, and I don't know if there's any University of Tennessee fans out there. I'm not one, but I do live in Knoxville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And you talk about a fan base that just goes after coaches. I mean, it's you haven't won a national championship in, 3 years? Give the guy a chance. I mean, you got to – coaches at this point, unless you're just losing a ton of games – they just need 5 or 10 years. They just do. You got to build a program, and it's hard to get kids to stay. And in the NFL, it's even worse because you mentioned the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, how many other teams would have taken him if he wanted to leave the Steelers? Like almost all of them, you know? I mean, he would have been unemployed for 3 seconds. And, you know, but he wanted to stay because the coaching staff's been the same, you know, and he wants to stay with that team, and they keep people together. And when they have a bad egg, you know, like Antonio Brown or, you know, they run them out of town. And I think that says a lot about that organization. I always said if I wasn't a Niners fan or if I hit my head one day and forgot and I was going to pick a different team, I mean, the Steelers could definitely be a favorite team of mine just because of the way they operate.
Right.
You know, I mean, the Niners have been through like 37 coaches in the last 15 years or whatever. And, you know, Jim Tomasula. They had Mike Singletary. You know, I'm surprised he didn't call me at some point in time, you know, because, you know, why not? Sure, Dave can do it. Run the ball that way, guys.
Right.
But, you know, I think it says a lot for a franchise to be able to keep coaches that long. And I think that's how you build dynasties. And the Patriots were just the latest team to do that. So, I think there's a lot to it.
Yeah. But this is the downside of why we don't see a whole lot of that these days is because of the patience, the lack of patience that the front office has.
Yeah.
You're saying, you know, to be able to keep the same staff year in and year out. Well, yeah, but I just paid this quarterback to be our franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
His prime is now. And if we don't get these pieces that we surrounded with him to a championship or to a Super Bowl, it's a bust.
Yeah.
Now we're trying to figure out what do we need to do. And out of all the people that we're going to get rid of, unfortunately, it won't be the franchise quarterback. It won't be any of the cornerstones.
Right.
It will be the head coach. It will be the coordinator. So it does suck because you want longevity no matter where you go, no matter what, you know, what field of work that you're in. You want to have some sort of longevity there. The problem is what is the level of patience and what is the end goal? There are certain teams that have no problem. You know, hey, we're gonna have a 5 to 10 year run with you because we don't have it right now. Yeah. A team like Carolina, a team like Washington, where we have some pieces, but we don't have it all together to contend right now. So we'll take our time. We'll be patient. The problem is when you got teams like that one, where you have a franchise quarterback, we paid you the money, we have cornerstones around him, we have a great roster all together from top to bottom, and our goal is to win a Super Bowl, not to just be at a Super Bowl, but to win it, and you come up short in a fashion to where it's like, okay, are we patient enough to give you another try?
Yeah.
Or should we just run it back all over again and act like this year never transpired? So you have cases like that to where it's like, do we factor in what timeline are we in? That right there is in a Super Bowl window, whether we want to admit it or not.
Sure.
San Francisco's in a Super Bowl window. Mm-hmm. Baltimore's in a Super Bowl window. I personally believe, whether we want to admit it or not, I think Detroit is in a Super Bowl window. Okay. They may not have the pieces to win it all, but it doesn't mean that they're not in the conversation. They're definitely in the conversation with how they've constructed this team. Okay. Kansas City, obviously, in the Super Bowl window. So those organizations are in that timeline where it's like, if we don't win, or if we lose in a fashion to where we're not even respectable anymore, something got to change.
That's where it
kind of gets tricky. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a great year, but how did it end? Or did you contribute to how the season ended? And should we just ignore when we have a head coach that is not really good at anything? Should we ignore the fact that, you know, that we had an offensive coordinator that did nothing but screens? Do we ignore the defensive coordinator that couldn't draw up any plays for the defense, leaving people wide open and not being able to tackle? I'm losing out of breath because there's so many lists of things that they couldn't do well that caused for both coordinators to be fired. And honestly, the head coach should be fired too. But it's okay. But that's what I'm saying. It's not so much of we want them fired immediately. It's so much of where are we at in terms of as a franchise, in terms of our timeline? Because I have to factor that too.
Do you think
that's something we have to think about?
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you think the biggest pressure on organizations are? Do you think it's the fans or the media?
The media. I'm going to say the media. And then let me explain to you why I say the media. Because, okay, And let's just talk about games. Okay. Let's talk about if a team, excuse me, if a team is a strong team, and we'll go with Philly, right? First 10 games, weighing them out, right? Wore them out completely, right? But then when they started losing, who came down on them the most? The media. Well, what's going on up in Philly? What's going on this? You had your Stephen A's. You had Shannon, right? You had Skip Bayless. Oh, they're coming down. What is going on in Philly? What's going on with this? What's going on with that? They beat them down, and the players, believe it or not, is drinking the Kool-Aid with it.
Sure.
Because remember, it's on social media, and these players are clapping back on some of the people, what they're saying. So the media plays a lot in what they do. And these players are like, okay, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this. Okay.
Yeah.
And getting everything together, they try to live up to a hype of what they're saying. And if you notice it, look at a lot of these players that's on social media that clap back. Okay, AJ Brown, when they was talking about AJ Brown wasn't this and.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Did he cut out?
It froze up a little bit there.
Yeah. But me personally, I think it's the fans. Okay.
Yeah.
And here's why. The fans, I know teams love to say the fans are gonna do what they want, they're gonna say what they want, but we're not gonna worry about them because they're not in the building. Well, the media isn't either, but I will say that there are certain cases where the fans really do have a temperature on how things should be because we're the ones that are the paying customers that watch these games.
Right.
We are the guys that we watch these players. We watch for it to see how well they're going to do. And we know that what they're capable of. We saw, like in Philly's case, we saw that they're capable of being a Super Bowl contending team. We saw that. We saw that last year. It's not like this is, wishful thinking. This is something that they're capable of, and we've seen it. So as fans, when we watch the first, I know for me, I'm a realistic Eagles fan. I'm not one of those, we're gonna win every game. I'm not crazy like that.
I'm one of those too. Yeah.
Okay. So when we're wrong, we're wrong. And when we're hot, we're hot. Okay, that's where I'm at. But even in that 10-game stretch where we were picking up wins, I was like, something's not right. Something's not right. Now, it's cool we're winning these games, but something's not right.
Yeah.
And so then when you had the tailspin, it became, okay, not only is something not right, but now it's apparent that something ain't right because now you got the fans that are at the stadium. They're recording, the players' reactions to certain stuff. So my personal thing that carried me throughout the entire year, which is why I thought that at least the offensive coordinator had to be gone, was if you saw there were multiple times where the camera would shoot on Jalen Hurts after a play was made, and if it didn't go well, you saw his facial expression. Now we all know Jalen's facial expression is usually the same.
Right.
But when there was a bad play being made, you would see the camera shot at him. He's just like, I'm just doing what the play called.
Do you think that it was something systemic there? And the reason I say that is because, I mean, they were 10-1 and I'm watching the Niners every week, right? Like I'm not watching the Eagles unless they're playing the Niners. Or unless they're, not playing at the same time or whatever. And so we interviewed on our podcast a couple of weeks ago, Rob Guerrera, nicknamed Stats, used to work for Mike and Mike in the Morning, and he covers the 49ers, gold standard network there on YouTube. Check him out. But he said that just from like insider reports and things that he was hearing, when they were 10-1, they were the most miserable 10-1 team. Do you think Sirianni lost the locker room? Do you think that's exactly what it was?
Because
Sirianni looks like he's just upset no matter what. he doesn't look like a happy man, So.
Yeah. And so with Sirianni, it was the reason, and one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to pinpoint which game I would say that he lost the locker room. I'm not going to do that. But what I will say is you can tell on the body language of the players when some of those losses came about that there was no coming back from it. Yeah. When we lost to Dallas, when we lost to San Fran, those big time games where everybody's watching us and we put up the effort that we did, it was like, yeah, the writing's on the wall. Now, we didn't know what it was going to consist of. We didn't know how bad it was going to be, but we knew they knew deep down this is not our year. This is not our year. We were skating by with the wins that we did have. So we should be lucky for that. But I think with Sirianni, the reason why I feel like Sirianni lost locker room is because the fans, including myself, are saying the same thing that they're saying in their head. Okay, you're not calling the offense. You're not calling the defense. What are you doing? Like, seriously, like,
look at upset on the sidelines. That's what he's doing.
You know what I'm saying? Like everybody else is doing something. Everybody else is having their expertise in something. What are you good at? What are you priding yourself on? What got you hired? Yeah. Because if you're telling me that you got hired off of motivation, I can sit up there and get somebody off the street to do that. I don't need you to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can get Big Dom to do that for us. Like, we don't need a head coach for you to do that. And so I think as time came around and as the more losses came about, when you had losses to teams like Arizona, who had no business having the intention of winning, but they beat us. Yeah. When you have games like the Giants, where we just completely lay an egg and don't show up, it's like, all right, man, what's really going on here? Because it ain't us. We got the Super Bowl last year.
Was it Donovan McNabb's mom that used to do the Chunky Soup commercial?
Maybe.
Yeah.
She was a pretty good motivator. I mean, I think they should hire her. If she's still alive, I think they should hire her.
Hey,
she motivated the hell out of me, and I don't even eat that stuff.
Okay. But,
you know, I'm like, you know what? I could go for some Chunky Soup right now, Mrs. McNabb, you know?
Yeah. So again, that's what the conversation was. And I think it seeped into the players' heads. And I think the fans were getting louder and louder. And if you know anything about the Philadelphia market, is when the fans are starting to have a pulse on something, expect for it to only get louder and louder, depending on how bad it is. So, you know, when we started seeing all the screenplays and the read options and the lack of variety in the offense, when we saw that nobody could tackle on defense, when we saw that nobody can cover on defense, when we saw all those things, it was like, all right, something got to change. Because I could have sworn last year we were finding ourselves in the Super Bowl playing tit for tat with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And now we're doing this. What's going on? So I think that got into the player's head and it lost it. I think at that point it was like, Sirianni can't get that back.
I think it can definitely be both. I think it can be the fans in some markets. I agree with that. Like the New York market, the Philadelphia market is probably that way too. But it's one of the reasons. And if either of you guys have ever listened to my podcast, Doc and I, when we start talking about ESPN, he just sits back and laughs because I go on for like 30 minutes of my hatred for ESPN. Here's a little nugget on ESPN that I love to tell people, and most people never caught this, but you can't really see it behind me. Actually, my microphone's kind of blocking it. I've got like a Florida State. I'm a Florida State fan too. I was a lifelong Bobby Bowden fan. Loved Bobby. Great guy, great coach, and I've just been a Seminoles fan, and happy we have Mike Norvell now. But years ago when, you know, we won the national championship and Jameis got into a lot of trouble, right? A lot of stupid stuff. He was a kid. He was a kid and he was doing stupid crap. Mm-hmm. And so ESPN's website, right? Total clickbait. Right. Right on the side, kind of in the middle there, it said Heisman Trophy winning quarterback arrested. And it had a picture of Jameis Winston. He was still at Florida State at this point in time, right? This is his second year starting there. I click on it, and it was Marcus Mariota got a speeding ticket. That was the story. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I listened to Stephen A. Smith, and and poor Rob Guerrera on our show a couple of weeks ago, I know he still has some friends like, you know, Mike Greenberg and some folks at ESPN. So I'm like, you don't have to answer this, Rob, but listen, you know, I said, what's going on at that network? Because it's just a bunch of guys yelling at each other. And oftentimes they just contradict what they said like 12 hours later.
Absolutely.
You know, and you listen to the media and it's not just them. It's like Fox Sports One. And like you mentioned, Skip Bayless and, you know, and he's got Michael Irvin, Richard Sherman on there. And, you know, Little Wayne, for some reason, just shows up for whatever
rough.
Reason.
It's rough to watch.
You know, because he made the song. So he made the song.
But and then you've got Stephen A. Smith and, you know, and Dan Orlowski and all these guys. And just, it's just, I can't watch it anymore. I had to stop years ago. I just like cut back because ESPN used to be cool. It used to be Chris Berman and Tom Jackson and SportsCenter was actually good when when Rich Eisen was over there and Dan Patrick and, Keith Olbermann was there too. And I mean, just, they even brought guys from CNN over there that used to do the little CNN sports show. Mm-hmm. And it was so good, but you listen to that coverage now and Brock Purdy's a prime example. I mean, everything he does good is really not because of him. And everything he does bad is either just because he's terrible or he was being too aggressive. 2 hours later, all the bad stuff was, oh, well, he was being aggressive. That's when he's at his best. It's like, what?
right.
It's a nexus of the universe. So I do think it can be the fans too, but oftentimes I do think it's the media just putting pressure. And maybe the fans are getting fueled by the media too. But I just, the media, and Lord knows I've been a part of it before. And I never tried to do that to anybody. I was trying to just be as honest as I could be. And it's why I always consider myself, like you said, a realistic fan. If we suck, we suck. And if I think we're going to lose, I just say, I think we're probably not going to win this game. But, you know, if Brock Purdy wins the game, it won't be because of Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy could throw 6 touchdowns for 700 yards, and it will not be because of him. It'll be because of poor tackling. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what it'll be.
Right.
You know, and I mean, the kid can't do anything. I mean, the kid's what, 24 years old. It's his first full season. You know, second year in the NFL and second full season or first full season starting.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, all he did last year was win, you know, and I don't know what else he can do, but the media just hates the guy. And I'm afraid that the media is going to put so much pressure on it that they start looking elsewhere too if they lose a couple of games because, you know, is it because of Brock Purdy? And I don't know. Is he a system quarterback and all this stuff? And I'm like, I don't know. His completion percentage is pretty good. He can be a system quarterback if he brings another Lombardi home. I really don't care. Doesn't bother me in the least.
Right. No, I got you. I got you. You know, y'all hashtag quest for 6. We hashtag quest for 3. So I get it.
Right. Yeah.
I get it. So, you know, the whole thing of, you know, like I said, if we both make it to the dance, we got to have a bet.
Oh, of course.
We gotta have a bet.
Of course. Of course.
We definitely have to have a bet. And you're down in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite food down there?
Oh, let's see. Well, you know, we like anything fried, of course, right? Because it's Tennessee. So we like our chicken, we like our wings, definitely like our wings, we like our ribs.
Okay.
You know, so we've got some good stuff here. I don't exactly know what cuisine here in Tennessee because we're just kind of out in the middle of, you know,
nowhere.
We like our ribs and we like our chicken. We got some really good wing places here and a couple of really good fried chicken places too. Big fan of that.
Okay. Well, no, we're known for seafood up here in Maryland.
So. Oh, listen, I'll be asking for crab cakes. Yeah. No doubt.
So I'll be asking for crab cakes.
Yeah, crab cakes.
I got you.
But I don't want to leave without talking about your picks that you made for the last weekend, though. Because
come on,
you called them all right, except for one game. One game you didn't call right, and that was an upset. You thought the Packers were going to beat the Niners, and I said, I was busy tonight with some work stuff, and I'm like, no, I got to get on here. I got to ask him about that. I got to ask him, because I heard him. He, you know, he said Kansas City was going to beat Buffalo. Hey, good call there. You know, yeah, Detroit winning, you know, and all that. I'm like, yeah, he called them all right. And I mean, the Ravens and Texans, I mean, we knew how that was going to go. Yeah. Right. But I mean, that was a formality. They all showed up and shook hands at the coin toss. It was a close game then. And then.
I like that one.
But what about, so the Niners and Packers, what made you pick the Packers? Just interested.
The Packers, when I thought, I said, them boys were red hot coming in to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. With, you know, it's even with Baltimore. If you look at Baltimore in that game in the first half, they were really like stale. And then as the game going wrong, they picked up steam. I said, with these teams taking them 2 weeks off, they, you know, you're rusty. You're rusty a little bit. And with the Packers coming off, especially what they did, I said the Packers are red hot. And they were just a field goal miss away of probably upsetting the 49ers.
Yeah.
Probably. But the thing with it, and other than Jordan Love throwing across his body instead of throwing the ball out of bounds. they had the ball last, and they could have marched down the field and won that game. But they were red hot. And if you look at what Jordan Love and the Packers have done, we can even go back to Thanksgiving. They went into Detroit
and wore them out. Yeah, they did.
And most of the teams don't take the ball first. They take the ball first and say, we're going to make a statement against you.
I know.
And march down the field on you.
You know what the problem was? If Jordan Love had been a system quarterback, he wouldn't have thrown that interception. Just throwing that out there.
Of course. Listen, I knew that was coming too.
Them boys were red.
They were. And absolutely.
I said, they coming in there, and I said, man, I think it's going to be an upset. I said, I think it's going to be an upset. But hey, the 49ers pulled it off, and congratulations to the 49ers. Yeah. Hey, I don't mind eating crow or anything. I say, I tell them all the time, I say, I eat crow. So one of my episodes, I don't know if you saw it, I lost that last game with the Steelers. The Steelers beat us in that last game. They beat all our backups. I wore a brown bag over my head for the whole show.
Oh, no.
Because that was the bet that I had to wear a brown bag.
Oh, Lord.
I got that bag, and I'm going to keep that bag, and I put it across the top, Steelers suck.
And what made matters worse is I had nothing to do with the bet, but because the Eagles lost week 18 in the manner that they did, I decided to join him with the brown bag.
There you go. Except, I like it.
I didn't want him to be alone in his brown bag odyssey. But mine was not as detailed as his was. Well, if you look back on the episode, there was holes everywhere. Everybody was critiquing my bag. And I said, dang it, it's a bag. It's a brown bag.
It's a brown bag.
It's not supposed to be pretty.
We'd probably be criticizing it. It's going to be rough. We'd have a lot more viewers if we wore bags on our heads, I think. Oh, I have to tell Doc. I think our subscriber count would go up.
It was rough.
That show, everybody was like, oh my God, you actually did it. I honor my bets. No matter what the bet is, I will honor my bet.
No, you have to.
It's just like with this Kansas City game. I have family up in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And we all trying to figure out a bet now, but trust me, they're all on me. I'm on them. If Kelsey, you still in here? She's a big Kansas City fan. And you know, we are all going at each other. But the memes they got going with Taylor Swift right now in Baltimore.
Oh
my God. Oh, they have her in like all the bad neighborhoods. She getting a chicken box a half and half. They got her wearing a Ravens jersey. They is on Taylor the whole time.
Do you guys remember the Denver Broncos game this year? They beat the Chiefs. At home.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce's walking off the field and they're playing Shake It Off. And I'm like, that is the funniest thing. That is
on a
that, whoever's playing that music deserves a raise because that took some guts to do it and it's hilarious. So, yeah.
Right.
Unbelievable. That was awesome. That was
unbelievable.
Awesome.
But since I got you, we're going to get your pick on your game between the lines. What you think the score is going to be?
All right. So as I have become a meteorologist in the past 7 days, I've looked at the weather report out in San Francisco. And so the Bay Area looks to be pretty dry this weekend. to dry field. I'm going to go on the assumption that Deebo Samuel plays. I don't know if he'll be at 100%. I think it's fair to say that he probably won't be. But I think that Deebo plays, and I can see this game being kind of tight in the beginning. I just think that it's Kyle Shanahan, Steve Wilkes, they know Jared Goff. And I think it's tight for a while. I think the Niners pull away. I'm going to say 27-17 final.
Okay.
I do think it will be close. And I'll eat crow too. I'll be upset about it, but I'll eat crow.
Well, TJ thinks it's going to be close between us and the Ravens. I just think it might be a blowout up in there. And I'm not taking any away from Mahomes. I'm not taking any away from Pacheco, Rice, or Travis Kelce. I'm not taking anything away from the guys. But what I've noticed with the Ravens, especially all season, when they slow the game down, it's over for you. And they completely just start slowing things down, just like, okay, we're just going to beat you down now. Yeah. And they got a defense to complement the offense. And Baltimore's always been known for defense, but we've never really been known for an offense. And before you came on, TJ brought up this point also. Hey, look at your top-tier teams that has wide receivers versus what Baltimore has. And I got this point on that versus, and I'm going to take the 49ers for that. Mm-hmm. Y'all have some top-notch receivers. Y'all have a hell of a tight end. Y'all have a hell of a running back. Y'all have a system and program out there. Versus with us, Mark Andrews is out, right?
Right.
Who can we really say on our team is a number one receiver? Odell is past his prime. He's past his prime. You have a rookie receiver. You have Aguilar. These are all veterans that's been around. But who's a true number one receiver on the Baltimore Ravens? We really don't have one. They just make that system work.
Yeah.
And what Todd Monken has came in here and done, he has really opened up the playbook versus what Greg Roman has been here and done. And he's really has said, okay, Lamar, you have the keys. Here's the play. You work it out. And Lamar is not a running back, as anyone right. say. He's a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he stands back there and he looks. If he don't see it, okay. I'm not looking to run, but if I have to, I will.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if I'll give you my pick on that game too, if you want. And I kind of see it. Here's what I think. I think if this is a close game going into the third, I think the Ravens are in trouble. Because I think that once Kansas City gets rolling, they start finding ways to win. You let Mahomes hang around long enough, it's just trouble. And you know how I know? With 6 minutes left, we had a 10-point lead in Super Bowl 54. You got to, and that was all on Kyle Shanahan. It's like, dude, you got get first downs and kill the clock. That's what you got to do here. I think it does have the potential to be a blowout. I really do. I think that they might start piling it on the Ravens if they get going. It's Lamar in a big game in an NFC or AFC championship game. So it's interesting to see how it'll play out. But I think the Ravens are too fast. I think their speed on defense might be the difference in the game. I can see Mahomes throwing a couple of pick sixes in this because he's not afraid to sling it. I mean, you know, he's not a system quarterback. He'll sling it. So I could actually see a pick six, a couple of interceptions, maybe even a pick six. I'm going to go Baltimore in not a high scoring game, 24-10 and not a high scoring game. Cause the weather's still probably going to be cold. I don't think it's going to be as cold as it has been, but
right.
You know, I don't know what the weather is going to be, but, I could see a 24-10 game that looked closer at the end than it really was. Maybe a late touchdown from the Chiefs or something, but you can't let them hang around. I have learned that.
No, you can't. I'm giving them 21 because they're at least going to get probably 21 points.
It's a good offense, you know, and you've got Taylor Swift out there catching passes. So I mean, anything can happen. So,
When Taylor shows up in Baltimore, they're going to give her a nice warm reception.
Oh, you know they will.
Nice warm reception when she gets here.
That is worth the price of admission there for sure.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But TJ came up with this little hashtag. I'll let him explain it.
Oh, man.
I'll let you. I'll let you explain it.
hey, you know, you're very new onto the show. I have an inspired hashtag that wasn't created by myself. I will not take credit for this. I will not get copyrighted for this. I did not start this myself. Okay. But there was a certain someone who actually just laid in the last chat on the show so far, and Mr. Triple B's Marv is what I call him. Triple B's Marv. Big brown bag Marv, okay? He is the only person on this show that's gotten a brown bag from me, okay? Now, he gets that brown bag because on one of our shows, he decided it was a great idea to mention that every home game that Baltimore had, the opposing team's quarterback got hurt at some point in time during the game. So it made me think, he's right. He's very right.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I think I know what's going on here. We're going to have a conversation about this in the offseason. Because there will be a hashtag Bounty Gate at the bank going on at M&T Bank Stadium. Because I've noticed that every single time there is a game held at M&T Bank Stadium, someone gets hurt and it's not a Baltimore Raven. It never has been, okay?
You might be on to something here.
Okay?
Don't be sipping this Kool-Aid.
Hey, look. I got a list now. Bear with me. I got a list. Okay? Last week, it was one of their pass rushers. I believe it was Charles Harris, on the Texans. Mm. Yeah. He was doing pretty well all year. He somehow, some way gets hurt. Okay? Yeah. Number one. The week before that, okay, TJ Watt going against a bunch of backups.
Yeah,
they didn't purposely hurt him. None of these are intentional, by the way. I want to make that very clear. But it happened. They got hurt, okay?
Yeah.
T.J. Watt got hurt in Baltimore, okay? Brock Purdy. There's Tua. There's Deshaun. Okay? There is, I think I'm missing out on a couple, but it's okay. They're no names anyways. It's fine. Truth of the matter is that it's hashtag Bounty Gate at the bank. I'm going to make this a movement because it is not a moment. It is a movement. Hashtag Bounty Gate at the bank.
I wish you would
understand how real it is.
Can you do like a sub hashtag and put like hashtag Sean Payton? Because maybe he has something to do with it, right?
I might have to give him a shout. I might have to. But I've noticed that, and now every single game, you know, we all, but see, it plays into their favor. That's how I know it's legitimate. I'm not just picking this stuff out of thin air. You know, we think of Baltimore as this physical team. You know, hit you in the mouth. We're gonna hurt you. Yeah. You know, all this stuff that the Saints were saying back in 2011. You know, all this good fun stuff.
It's true.
Okay, they're saying the same thing. All right. The only difference is, ain't nobody catching up on it, but I am. I think
you're definitely onto something. Okay. I think Brett Favre would agree with you. I think Sean Payton's involved.
I'm just saying, look, Roquan Smith, recent presser after the game, he said, it don't matter who it is. It could be my sister. It could be my cousin.
Oh, he sure did.
It could be whoever. We going to knock them out, and we going to knock them out often. And that's, as soon as I heard that, I said, oh, really? Knock him out, huh?
Now we know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So keep a close eye on that
AFC
Championship game on this Sunday.
If somebody
finds a way to get hurt, shockingly, you know why. Because you will know it will be Bounty Gate at the bank. You know like it.
You're going to have Dave send me all kinds of messages, man.
Yeah, now I know. Yeah, I think this is a movement I can get behind.
Thank you. I'm signing petitions across all the world. They know it. And you know what's sad? At first, this man right here wanted to deny said statement. He wanted to deny it so bad. And now, over the past couple weeks, you want to know what I've been hearing? You know, when y'all show up here in Baltimore, it's hashtag Bounty Gate at the bank.
Right.
See, he's falling into the trap too. He knows.
Okay, it's like when you hear a song over and over again, right? And it just sticks into your head. That's all that happened. It was a catchy tune.
I got you. I got you.
I bet it is. Try to act like you don't believe it's true.
It's like a Taylor Swift song, right?
Yeah.
You know, at first it's like, that's ridiculous. And then you can shake it off. I get it. I got you.
Thank you.
It was catchy, too.
It's not a moment, ladies and gentlemen. It's a movement.
It is. It's definitely a movement. Definitely a movement.
Something that everybody should get behind. Because every single game, what makes it worse is that you very rarely see a Raven get hurt in these games.
That's true.
Very rarely. Very rarely. Yeah. The last person that got hurt in Baltimore, you want to know who it was? Marlon Humphrey. You want to know who played this past weekend? Marlon Humphrey. You want to know
why? He didn't play. No.
You know who's going to play this weekend? Marlon Humphrey. You want to know why? Because when it comes to Baltimore and them playing at the bank, it's hashtag Bounty Gate at the bank. And God forbid if it applies to them, because it won't. It will apply to everybody else but them. I got proof. I got proof now.
He's called it. Listen. Mahomes. Mahomes isn't going to make it through the whole game. Better bubble wrap him now, right?
Right now.
Better bubble wrap him now.
Kelsey, you're getting a little bit up there in age, man. You might want to put some extra ice on them socks. You know, Kelsey should be retired
anyway. Like, Taylor's worth $1 billion. What the hell is he doing? Like, come on.
The commercials they make, the State Farm endorsement, you know, him and Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean, Mahomes is just young, but Mahomes, I mean, they're set for life.
Oh, they're set for life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they got 3 rings in that family, you know, 2 from Travis, 1 from Jason.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they got a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, just think if guys were making that kind of money 25, 30 years ago, right? Like, it's like I can go out there on Sunday and continue to get hit by Ronnie Lott, or I can just cash it in and forget about it and join the ESPN. Because then I don't have to know anything if I work for ESPN anyway. So,
oh boy,
right?
You know, I can have zero talent as long as I talk really loud. I can be on ESPN.
Yep, absolutely. I can out-talk you.
Yeah, right. That's it. That's all it is. That's all it is.
He knows it.
Oh my goodness.
He knows.
I have enjoyed this.
It's been fun.
You know it now, Dave. You know it now. It's not a moment. It's a movement.
No, I got you. No, I'm on board. You had me.
Oh my goodness.
You had me from the get-go. You had me from the get-go.
Oh my goodness. See, I'm the villain in this, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's completely your fault. It's completely your fault. Yes.
It's completely your fault. And you know what? The fact that you finally understand how real it is and how true it is makes it so much better.
Right?
So much better.
I agree.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
listen, 100%. You admitting it on 2 weekends in a row?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Sunday is going to be a cold day for 2 teams. That's all it is. Sunday's going to be a cold day for 2 teams. See all the balloons going up.
Let's see it.
You see the balloons?
Let's see it.
Somebody's getting paid. Somebody's getting paid at the bank. I knew it. Maybe it's Roquan. Maybe it's Kyle Hamilton. I don't know how much the price is. But it's going to come up in the offseason. Some cash is exchanged hands.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Listen. Roquan scares me like Ray Lewis, man. Them two are two different guys. You see how nice and respectable the guy is on camera? But when you get on the field,
he's a totally different person. Yeah.
And it's just like with Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis will talk to you, man, on the field. He looked like he'll just drive through you. Man, I don't want even one of these guys to hit me.
No.
He knows. He knows. And Dave, you know too. So yeah,
I'm with you.
The word. And you spread the word wherever you go.
I will. No, it's not
a moment. It is a movement.
100%. I'll definitely spread the word.
See, he's gonna tell Doc all about this experience he's had.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And Doc is gonna be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna have to get both of them on here.
Yeah. Yeah. We both need to be here to experience this. So
yes, absolutely. But next Tuesday, we're gonna know who's going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Well, Sunday
we'll know.
Tuesday,
yeah.
We're gonna be here and we're gonna know who's going to the Super Bowl. If it's us, we will take a bet. We'll definitely take a bet.
Absolutely. 100%.
Definitely. You know, sure. Not like that overrated barbecue up in Kansas City. I'm just
saying. Oh boy.
Nah. Nah. They can keep
remember,
it.
You might have to eat that one day.
I know. Kelsey must not be in here because that's why I say it so she can call me. I'm picking all these Chiefs fans, but I'm going to wind everything down. Do you have any brown bags this week? Because I don't have any. I I'm still harping on the Buffalo fans, but now I'm going to harp on. But matter of fact, let me give Buffalo management a brown bag. And here's the reason why. You cut really? The hot water off on the Chiefs.
Really? That's probably one of the best things they could do. Everybody grieves differently. Don't you do Buffalo like that? We can't win a Super Bowl. We can't get out of Mahomes' way. We all grieve differently. Let them grieve with turning.
Oh no,
water
I'm not
off.
Letting them grieve. I'm giving Buffalo the business. Buffalo just go get it from me till the end of the season. After the Super Bowl, I'm gonna still give them the business. You're throwing snowballs during the game. Yeah. You're throwing snowballs at the play after the game over. You're cutting the hot water off. What's next? They bus jacked the bus. They didn't get to the airport.
Hey,
right.
There's only but so much you can do because there's not gonna be a whole lot moving when you're not in the playoffs anymore. So
not at all. Not at all. I'm surprised they ain't ride up there. Oh, I forgot one thing. Oh yeah, they were fighting in the stands too. Yeah.
That too.
That was bad. I told them. I said I don't have very many brown bags. I don't. I think everybody, even in the teams that lost, they played the best football they possibly could given the situation. So I mean, I don't have any. I swear I don't. If you could find somebody, sure. I just don't got any. I don't.
Can I give one out? Have I earned the right to give a brown bag out?
Yes, absolutely. You have.
Okay. Because I'd like to give a brown bag to all the staff on ESPN. All of them.
Oh man.
All of them.
Oh man!
And not only am I giving one, I would suggest they just wear one from now on. I think it would make it a lot better, be easier to watch. You know, I might start tuning back in again. I don't know. Sounds like Stephen A. Smith, but I can't see him. I don't know.
Right. You know? We think that's him.
I'm not sure.
I am all for it. Yeah, no, these brown bags has no limit. I gave the whole state of Colorado one when the Colorado Buffaloes lost and when Denver got shellacked by Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that I'm was like, bad. Yeah.
Oh, that
all
was
on
bad.
The same weekend.
I gave the whole state of Colorado. And what was funny, I was up in Denver airport because I was catching a flight back. Not one person in that airport was wearing any Broncos anything.
Oh.
Anything. Not Bronco, oh, no. Nothing. Oh. And that's a huge airport. And I was walking around looking for anybody with a Bronco. I didn't even see the merchandise in the airport.
Wow.
That's
not good.
They just turned the shelf around and it's just skiing apparel.
Yeah,
just this, into the wall.
I didn't see it. I was like, wow. I was like, really? I said, I can't find one Denver fan up here. Not one. Goodness. I saw one guy wearing a Colorado Buffalo shirt. And I said, okay, I can respect that. But it was no Broncos. None.
Wow.
None.
Wow.
And I travel a lot. I travel a lot.
Wow.
And wow. I was just up in Minnesota and they was repping their Vikings up there, but God darn, it was cold up there. Woo!
Oh, I bet. Oh, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Negative 10 when I got there, negative 20 when I left.
That shouldn't be legal. It shouldn't be legal. I don't think the thermometer should even register that. It's like, no, it's just,
agree.
It's just zero. Let's not even talk about it. It's just zero. You know?
No. No.
So, but Dave, I really appreciate you coming on. We got to do this again. Absolutely.
I was happy to come on.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I definitely want to get with you and Doc, and you know, I want to get on y'all show too. Sure. You know, hey, even though y'all both 49ers fans, not holding it against you. Just like you're holding against me, a Ravens fan.
He's a Niners fan via osmosis. I don't even think he was. And just, I think it's just he's looked at this crap for so long that it's just like absorbed into his mind now. I think he's just, I think I've brainwashed him, much like I did my kids. Same philosophy. Same thing. They just didn't have a choice from birth, you know? So
the truth comes out.
Yeah, you see it enough, it's here. The subliminal right. messages, I got you.
Yep, it's that red and gold, man. It messes with your rods and cones and stuff. I don't know. It just starts just kind of absorbing into your skin eventually. So
sorry, kiddos. Yep. Sorry, kiddos, man.
All right, everyone.
When you turn 18, you can make choices for yourself. It's totally fine.
Yeah, unless you live here. You're right. Absolutely. Unless you live
here. Oh, Lord. Everybody, I'm going to tune out of here. Hold on for me, Dave, once I end the show.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm going to tune out. Thank y'all for tuning in. I appreciate all your comments. Appreciate everyone who come in. And definitely, Dave, he has his own podcast. Tune into him. It's the Dave and Doc Podcast. Dave and Doc Podcast. You can find him on YouTube. I've listened to him a couple of times. Guys, very fun. I'm glad they came on with me. And we're going to be jumping on a lot. And me and TJ, you know, we do all our trolling. But hey, I got one thing to say. Hashtag bounty gate at the bank, baby.
That's it.
Oh, my goodness.